It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin may not be top of mind for having a thriving stand-up comedy scene.
But comedians who perform here will tell you Wisconsin punches above its weight class.
Prominent local comedy clubs attract top acts from Chicago, Minneapolis, and other big cities around the country. And some comics gravitate to these smaller, more intimate venues than what the big city comedy hotspots can offer.
So what is it about the comedy scene in Wisconsin that keeps comedians coming back?
Kristen Leidy is a stand-up comedian in Green Bay. Earlier this year, she released her debut album, Disassociation Vacation, and she hosts a horror movie podcast called Bloody Mary. And Nathan Clemens is a stand-up comedian who started his own comedy club in Janesville last year. It's called The Comedy Cabin. Nathan, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Kristen, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right, Kristen, when you talk to stand-up comedians from other states, maybe they ask you, you know, what is it like to do stand-up in Wisconsin? What would you tell them?
I'd say, you know, there's a wide variety of opportunities for stage time. We have a lot of really great clubs, a lot of really great independent rooms. You know, depending on what area of the state you're in, there's something really great for everybody traveling through.
And is there anything, Kristen, special about Wisconsin audiences at comedy shows?
You know, I would say from my 12 years in and touring all over the country, I would say Wisconsin audiences do enjoy a darker sense of humor. You know, it's fun to talk about things that, you know, other audiences might shy away from. So I love that about Wisconsin.
Now, Nathan, you've performed stand-up for some time now. What made you take the plunge and say, yeah, I'm going to open up my own club?
So at one point I was running like 21 independent shows between breweries and bars and stuff. And it just got to be a little too much. And it got suggested a few times to maybe open up my own spot. And so I just kind of blinked and it happened.
And what has that process been like for you of like saying, okay, I'm not just putting on shows in other places. I'm trying to lure people to see shows at this one site. How's that gone?
It's definitely had its challenges, especially during the summer, you know, here in the Midwest. Summers, it's a different beast. I grew up outside Lake Geneva where the tourists would come and stuff, and everyone's out on a boat or camping or doing something. So, and then in the winter, all you really got to do is compete with Packer games or, you know, if the Bucks are on a hot streak. So winter's a lot easier. It's like two different seasons. But during the cold months, it's been pretty easy, especially as the club gets a good reputation for bringing in national touring acts and they start recognizing people they've seen on famous podcasts and television shows, Netflix, et cetera.
Kristen, I hear sometimes from comedians that they like, you know, maybe that smaller, more intimate type of comedy club. There's comedy on State in Madison, Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton and others. Is that something you feel an appreciation for, that intimate sort of setting?
Definitely. I love a venue where I can actually see audience members. If I'm at a theater with lights blinding me in the eyes, it feels a little impersonal. So like to have that intimate connection is wonderful. It's also great for writing new material and seeing how people respond to that face to face instead of a larger setting where you're, you know, you're not as close to the people and their reactions.
Nathan, when you're designing a space intentionally for comedy, what was important to you about, you know, where the artist is and where the audience is?
So I always tell people I built the room I wanted to play. High, low ceiling, corner stage, intimate. You can see the audience. Even we're a 100 seat room. Even the person furthest away is not even 75 feet away. So, you know, small stuff like just the feeling of walking downstairs into a club makes a big difference to start things off. Starting on time, having a countdown clock for the comics that are on stage, and then just being focused on the show first.
Kristen, I could see it being going either way. You can look and see that person smiling or laughing, or you might see them yawning or looking at their watch or cringing or whatever. I don't know. Is it a double-edged sword sometimes being able to see their reaction right away?
No, it's helpful because if they're not into it, you need to change direction and save the show.
And Nathan, I understand with your club, the Comedy Cabin, no heckling. You've got a no heckling rule. Why did you want to have that in place?
Every club essentially does have that in place because there's so many things when, like, you're building, as a comic, like, sometimes you're building tension or you're going to call back to something that it ruins the rhythm. Like, a good act can almost be like music where you're getting to a point, you're building up, and somebody just blurting something out because they're drunk or they think they're their funny friend, you know, at the bonfire, like it can just ruin the mood. And the other people in the audience didn't pay to see that person. So it's no different than if somebody just, you know, goes to a movie for the third time and randomly yells out, oh, Iron Man dies. It's just, it's not ideal.
Well, Nathan, I agree with you completely, but I've been in comedy clubs that I believed had no heckling rules. And yet, how do you enforce no heckling? Because I've seen heckling happen in clubs that supposedly it's not supposed to.
So it is tough. I mean, there's plenty of us that can handle it fine and move forward and shut the person down without it being rude or, you know, becoming quote unquote a viral clip on TikTok. Usually you just kind of give them a warning. My staff's real good about going to remind somebody like, hey, just remember no yelling out. Also, we have so many regulars. They almost kind of start policing the room themselves with just a quick like, shh. And our room's so intimate, it doesn't take much to realize that like the energy, like what you just did didn't help.
Now, Kristen, do you feel like there is like a scene either in your area in Green Bay or Wisconsin-wide, like there is a community of comedy or it's just there's comedians, there's some places to go and do comedy?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a scene. I moved back to Green Bay in 2018 after coming out of the Chicago scene for a decade, which Chicago is huge. So it took a little getting used to. You know, there's a lot fewer mics, obviously. But I would say we've got an up-and-coming scene of around 30 comedians that are putting on independent shows and open mics throughout the Fox Valley in Northeast Wisconsin. And we love to talk to each other about each other. Yeah.
And Nathan, you are building a scene there in Janesville in some ways, or at least enhancing it. How is it going? What do you see as like the community of comedy in Janesville?
That's generous of you. I don't know if I could go as far as saying I am building a scene. There's me and one other working comic essentially in the county. And we've had some people in the area come out, you know, for our open mic and try it for the first time. Otherwise, we're kind of centralized between Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, and even some of Iowa that like we, for our open mic, we get a lot of people traveling to kind of audition to get on paid shows and weekends. So as much as I'd like to try to cultivate a scene and get one going, it just hasn't really kind of happened yet. I don't know if it's because we only do one open mic a month or just the proximity of some of the bigger scenes. So it's something I haven't put a lot of thought into, and maybe I should.
We're talking to comedians Kristen Leidy and Nathan Clemens about stand-up comedy here in Wisconsin. Kristen based in Green Bay, Nathan in Janesville. Now, once upon a time, I think in stand-up, you did shows and shows, and you tried to get on TV and maybe get an album. Well, you've done the album, Kristen. But now we have the internet and social media. Kristen, how has that changed the work of a stand-up comic? How much of your time and effort goes into getting some kind of attention and contact with people online?
I'm definitely maybe a deviation from the norm in that I love my day job, and I put out my album. It hit number one on iTunes and Amazon. I'm on Sirius XM and I feel really happy with that. I was talking with an agent last month and she mentioned, you know, you need to be producing content 4 times a week and it needs to be the Kristen show. And I'm just not in it for that. I'm not going to be one of those people that is making the content. I love the art of actually being on stage in the moment. I'll never be famous, but I love what I do.
Awesome. And Nathan, how about you? Have you seen, TikTok and YouTube and whatnot changing comedy and the way you or your performers approach it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, every performer seems to be setting up a camera to maybe get a clip and to post. But I'll also say this, and I've seen this, is followers don't always translate to ticket sales. I've had people come through who have millions of followers and they barely draw. And then I've seen people with not as many followers, but they're more loyal and more engaged. So social media, it's hard to know what's real from there and to give it a good read on how that'll translate, especially, you know, in a rural area like down by me. So it's hard to judge. But everyone spends time on it, so you got to kind of feed the beast.
Now, Kristen, there is a long, exhaustive history of women in stand-up comedy. We could talk all day about women who've been great stand-up comics. Still, I think the majority of comics seem to be men. Do you feel like there's any, you know, having to elbow your way into the room a little bit as a woman in comedy?
I feel like comedy is just a microcosm of the world around us. So naturally there is, you know, that sexism happening. But I think, you know, I've been showing up for over a decade and doing the work, so I don't feel I have to elbow quite as hard, but I do offer a sense of mentorship to young women coming into the scene to make sure that, you know, they feel supported and they feel they can trust the scene around them to become a comedian.
I want to talk a little bit about the work that goes into stand-up comedy. I've gone on stage for various reasons, for music and public speaking and, of course, radio and stuff, and I feel like I would be terrified of stand-up comedy, Nathan, because it's just you and the audience. How did you prepare yourself? How do you prepare people when they come to open mic to deal with this, what seems to me anyway, a very intimidating kind of thing to do?
I mean, I think how to do it just starts with some form of narcissism, probably. Not sure if I'm using that word right. But I always tell first-timers, and I bet Kristen does the same, is I tell them it's your first time. They're going to clap for you. You're going to get a little bit of a good energy and feeling. Even the most bitter stand-up are going to give you a little something. So that first time, like, open with that and then do the jokes that you've been working on in front of the mirror. And then from there, like, if you got the itch, keep doing it and understand it's a lot of highs and lows.
And Kristen, how about you? Was it like you were instantly comfortable at building a rapport with the audience, or did it take a lot of work and time to get there?
I love the sense of control of being the only one up there. And I think, you know, with my day job, I do a lot of public speaking, so it did feel natural. I started getting booked on shows after like maybe 6 months of doing open mics. So it felt good. It felt natural. It felt like it clicked and I was hungry for more.
Kristen, can you talk about how you evolve your material? I know different stand-up people do it differently, but how do you go from, okay, I know this is there's something here, but it isn't getting the response I want. How do you turn that into something that gets the response you want?
Yeah, nothing beats mics, like being able to do a couple mics, but I will play with it conversationally with friends and kind of see what hits with them. And then it's just a matter of like, really sitting down and writing through it and thinking about like, how are you putting it all together in terms of the writing, the reaction, what's happening on your face? Are you doing an act out? Honestly, I like to just talk to myself in my living room.
Nathan, how about you? How do you take that germ of an idea that maybe doesn't land on the first try and make it into something that's going to work?
So I record every set and listen back to it. If possible, I'll try to video record it and watch my body language. Am I delivering it poorly because it's something new and I don't have the repetition for it? Another thing I'll do is I'll write on the top of a piece of paper what I found funny about the bit or the joke, and then I'll write it line by line to make sure I'm not babbling, that there's something funny in each sentence or at least every other sentence, and kind of do some of the nitty-gritty work with it. But, I mean, there's no better litmus test than a live audience.
And Kristen, do you ever switch gears because of the audience? You realize, you know what, I'm going down an angle that this particular group, for whatever reason, isn't going to play with, and I'm going to have to go to some of my other stuff?
Yeah, I think there's a tension there between wanting to deliver to the audience and keeping the authenticity of your narrative intact. You know, I wouldn't do the same set that I would do in Crivitz, Wisconsin for Madison, right? So I think, you know, within there's the geographical question of where am I going? Who is this audience? And then there's very much in the moment of like, okay, they didn't like this, so I need to steer this way. And that's what makes it exciting, too.
Now, something we've been wondering behind the scenes here at Wisconsin Today is, you know, we work a lot with news, right, and politics. And I'm wondering what you see as far as people, you know, telling political jokes, if they're avoiding them now, given that it's a tense time, how audiences respond. Nathan, I'll start with you. How does politics come up, if at all, when people are doing sets at your club?
So what I've noticed is that a good joke is going to do well no matter what the topic is. Funny is funny and it will win out. I do feel like the joke needs to be funny if you're going to go political, no matter which side of the spectrum you're on, because I feel like the audiences I have, as soon as they hear somebody taking a stance of some kind or feel like they're going to get preachy, they almost take a step back of, I don't want to be lectured to or preached to. I'm here to laugh.
And Kristen, what are you seeing when it comes to politics and comedy?
Yeah, it has to be relevant and it has to be unexpected. Like, you can't just go in beating the same dead horse and expect clapter. I think you have to have a unique take in your narrative that really resonates with what is happening currently. You know, and then there are certain subjects like people are just tired of, like any mention of COVID, and I've seen audience just stop dead. You know, so that's something I just personally stay away from talking about. But yeah, I think like Nathan says, anything can be talked about as long as it's funny and fresh and unique.
We'll leave it there. Kristen, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Nathan, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Kristen Leidy is a stand-up comedian in Green Bay, and Nathan Clemens is a stand-up comedian and owner of the Comedy Cabin in Janesville. They're with us to talk about their experiences with the stand-up comedy scene in Wisconsin and how they keep audiences laughing.
After that tour of the Wisconsin comedy scene, we want to hear from you. Are you a fan of stand-up comedy, and do you go to see live shows? Or maybe you check out some improv now and then. Give a shout out to venues or performers in your part of the state.
Or if you have done stand-up yourself, tell us about it. Do you have a favorite venue to perform in here in Wisconsin? Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. You can also call or text at 888-642-0232.
So, Rob, have you ever thought of doing stand-up comedy? Because you are one of the most hilarious people I have ever met. Wait a minute. Who wrote this?
Hey, thanks, Kate. No, I'll leave that to the professionals and just focus on sharing my hilarity with my coworkers, who all appreciate it. Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to WPR News.